Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, yay.
Hey, girl, hey.
Almost didn't make it.
No, we almost didn't.
Ellie called me and I was like, why are you calling me so early? And she was like, we're recording. And I was like, shit.
I was like, oh, did we get the day wrong? I was like, I'm sure we said we were recording
Can
this
you
morning.
Know that I'm Cause... fully dressed and makeup and showered in less than 10 minutes, though?
What, because I called you?
Yeah, I was like, right, shower. Because like, come on, Cameron, you can do this. Because basically, I'm really good at getting really quick because I used to work. The first job I ever had out of uni was in London, but I lived at my parents' house in Oxfordshire. And I, like, the commute was like 2 hours and I had to start work at 8. So I had to get up so early to get to work that, like, I just didn't want to, like, get up any earlier to get ready. So I literally used to, like, lay everything out. It would take me 5 minutes to get out of the door.
Pack your bag the night before.
Put your clothes then, on.
Yeah.
Like, makeup was just like, like concealer, eyebrows, done, leave.
I feel like you're quite fortunate though, because like generally speaking, you have good skin. So you could probably get away with like.
It's just my chin, but then it's just concealer. So.
Yeah. So like minimal makeup for maximum effect.
Also, I'm rubbish at makeup anyway, so like I just don't ever do like loads of it because I'm just rubbish at it. I wish I was good, but
anyone who knows me knows that I take forever to get ready.
Your makeup is literally insane. It's so good.
Thank you. I've gotten better since moving. I now can do hair and makeup within half an hour and still I give myself an hour and normally go over it, but since moving I've been able to do it within half an hour and then still have half an hour spare before I need to leave.
You know, I feel like,
which means that I'm at places on
you're
time.
Getting ready.
Great.
So, like routine and mine say a lot about us as people.
I don't know, I guess it takes time. I don't know. It's terrible though, because if you see me and my friend, if we go on holiday together, we're both the same. So, like, we're a lot of fun. It's just quite frustrating because you just want to get out the door.
Yeah, well, I know that you would be like that though. Like, I know fully that if I went away with you, I'd have to bring extra books for when you're getting ready.
No, it's to the point where it's like, I got to get ready I'm going to start getting ready 2 hours before you, because by the time you're ready, I'll be done.
You always look amazing, so it's obviously worth it.
Oh,
I just need some lessons on. I got very stressed when we went out for Ellie's birthday because I was like, I know that everyone's going to look amazing and I just don't have an outfit.
Don't be silly. You know, we changed like 4 times each. Like me and my housemate,
I literally took almost every piece of clothing off my rail and it was on my bed when I got home, and Tom kept being like, it looks nice, and I was like, stop telling me I look nice.
Stop lying.
And then when we got home I just looked at the pile of clothes and I was like, oh god.
Oh, it's so funny, honestly. Like, no matter how many pieces of clothing items you have, you never feel like you have enough.
I know.
Ever.
I know.
But think of it this way, makeup. Yeah. You like to paint, right?
Yeah.
It's just like painting on your
face. Yeah, people have said that to me before, actually. I think maybe I just need to watch a few YouTube videos, you know? I feel like...
Yeah, I actually quite enjoy that.
At the ripe age that I am, it's about time that I learned some makeup skills, you know? I feel like I've got this far without it, and now I can't go on without the skills. Well, one time though, we were out. It was when I lived in France, when we all met in Paris. Me and my friends that were there, and one of the girls did our makeup. She did like smoky eye, and I looked like I just had a black eye. Like,
Was it a bit like when Claudia Winkleman did that?
Yeah. Oh my god, please can we tell that story?
Go on.
So guys, we used to work, we still do kind of, in Tottenham Court Road, so like near Covent Garden, and we were just going to Boots, the big Boots in Covent Garden. Great.
It's amazing.
Best Boots ever. And we just were going, Ellie needed to get something, and there was like a sign like, Claudia Winkleman's here today. And we were like, what? So we queued up. We spent our whole lunchtime queuing up to meet her. And then she did our makeup. But she did our makeup with makeup that she'd used on other people. To this day, I'm still a bit like,
yeah. When you think about the pandemic now, you're like, yeah. Oh.
And she did like, we honestly looked bizarre. Like, our eyes were like black, like with liner, and like, I think she, and then she put some lipstick on out, and she was like, oh my god, this looks great on you, and just like slipped it into her bag, like, take this with you.
She did, she actually gave me a lipstick. She was like, I love this too much on you, you can have it. I was like,
we do have a picture, but I'm not sure we can share it, because I honestly look,
I think we should.
I don't even know how to.
I think we should.
I look so bad.
It's not the best photo of either of us, but I think we should share it.
We were
I was going to say, we're big fans of her, and then we ended up buying the book with the intention of doing it for one of these episodes.
This was literally a year ago, Ellie, because do you remember it arrived on Christmas Eve? Not Christmas Eve. No, I arrived when I was leaving to go home for Christmas, do you remember? And then I stayed for 2 months, so I didn't, because of the old L pandemic. But yeah. I can't even, like, that whole experience was just bizarre. And then we got back to the office and we were like, everyone was looking at us and we were like laughing. And I think like our boss had, like, noticed that something was different, but like couldn't quite work out.
I didn't know what. Well, some takeaways here, or some things that I want to sort of add to. The Ellie needs to go to Boots was a thing that happened every day. I need to go to Boots, I need something.
God help us if they've got a Boots near our new office. That's all I can say.
I don't think there is. I think the closest is by that Monument Station.
Oh my god, we're gonna have to go on a trek every lunchtime.
Yeah, so every day I'm like, I need to go to Boots. There's something I need, and it's like I could have done it in one sitting at the top of the week. That Boots is great, kind of, because although it's great for makeup and all of the bougie stuff, if you need something real simple, it's impossible to find.
Yeah, that's true. If you need like paracetamol, you have to walk for like 10 minutes to find it.
Yeah, like just go to Superdrug. And then what else was there? I just love that we went and Claudia Winkle. See, it paid
I
off
for that Kat. Day. That was such a great day.
It was. She was a ball of energy. She was actually a lot of fun. Quite enjoyed Claudia Winkle.
Yeah, I think she's really fun. And we like, I can't believe we queued. To be honest, like we, yeah. We definitely didn't have the time, but we were just like, right, well, opportunity.
Not doing anything else.
Yes. Oh, I have such fond memories of that day.
I feel like, oh no, because it was around that time when we kept stumbling on things. Like there was that pop-up at that milk makeup pop-up. In
that
Covent
was
Garden,
so good.
And then we got free products.
That moisturizer, yeah. No, that was good, because I was like, how can they justify giving us a full size product? And they gave us the milk moisturizer, whatever it's called, their vegan moisturizer, and it's literally like £36 a tub.
Yep.
And they gave us a full free one, but now I buy it every couple of months, so they've got all my money.
So they. That was a return on investment.
They were so confident that we were going to like it.
Yeah. And it wasn't just that. They were giving away, like, full-size products of some of their bestsellers, including that. And I used that as an opportunity. I needed to rebuy one, so I used that as an opportunity to just get it.
I thought you got the...
It's great.
I thought you got the moisturiser, though, that day.
Yeah, I got the moisturiser. I didn't get the... what was it? Because I was going to buy something else and then decided I was just going to get a moisturizer.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, and now they've got, I buy three of their products and it's all like 30 something pounds each. It's not good.
But yeah.
But I do it every We went on a tangent, really, because we were going to talk about the fact that Britney is free.
Woo, free Britney.
Free Britney.
Free Britney. The conservatorship.
Good for her. Did you see the post that she put on Instagram where she was just like, I just want to thank everybody. Yeah. And like, she looked good. She sounded good. But you could see the weight lifted off her shoulders.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah. And then we've got, me and my friends have a group chat called Free Britney. And now we were like, what do we call ourselves now?
Britney
Free. It started off about being
Britney. It's still like, Britney. She's free. So she's like, Free Britney. As in like, as an adjective.
True. True say. Free Britney.
Oh, yeah, because...
Also, on the same...
I was going to say, have you watched the Netflix documentary? Because I watched the other one.
Yes.
But I haven't watched the Netflix one.
Which is the other one?
The one that came out, like, a few months ago, before the Netflix one.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, but I saw the Netflix one.
Okay, because I was going to ask you if they were... Because I haven't watched the Netflix one, so I was like, well, I only recently watched the other one. But, yeah...
Just a swap. Mm. It was like when they did the Fyre Festival and then there was another Fyre Festival.
I think that's the thing. Like, me and my housemate were going to watch it. We were like, it's probably the same, like, same kind of thing.
I know, but I feel like when everything's sort of, like, I still watch it even though it's the same
content. Fyre Festival was one.
We went from watching the Paris Hilton one to the Britney one. And then seeing the Paris Hilton one,
I don't think I've seen that. I need to watch it.
That's the one on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. You told me
that's
about
the one
this.
On YouTube, yeah. It's we were saying, so if you'd seen when Britney was free from a conservatorship, that it was like the Holy Trinity had happened, because on that same day, Paris Hilton got married and Lindsay Lohan had announced with Netflix that she's got a Christmas film coming in 2022. And so, you know, and it's like, like, these girls were harassed and played in the noughties.
Yeah, and they're all coming
through. Like, stripped of their dignity and, like, and disrespected. And now they're coming full circle, which is really nice to see.
Aww.
Because of some of the stuff with Britney, like, hearing the stuff that, that's just, wow, wow. And it's insidious because it's like our own family.
It's actually so messed up. I feel like it just went too far. Yeah. I feel like it just got so ridiculous. Like, I don't even know how that's legal. Like, yeah.
And she's, what, free from it because she had a fan base that could see through what was going
also,
on.
So if you think about it, like, could you sorry.
I was going to say, could you imagine...
If she didn't.
Could you imagine the people that are in these conservatorships that don't have nearly... as much of a profile she is going through the same thing.
And also they framed it as like she wasn't like mentally sound enough to like look after her estate or whatever. But like that's such like she just needed
but she can work.
She needed some therapy. Like she needed some help. She didn't need like locking down basically. She just needed some mental health support or like treatment. Like she'd been like a child superstar, she's obviously gonna have some mental health issues. Like it's not good for you to be on the stage like that. Like the poor woman.
Well, they made her work, didn't they? It was like it's the girl that say like Miley Cyrus and the people that come, or Justin Bieber and the people that come after her in those 10 years that came after her, were allowed to have a bit, were allowed to express themselves or have a bit of a breakdown point, or in the same ways that we might just have a bit of a breakdown one week where we're a bit stressed.
Yeah. And or like you need to take
they
it,
could do
and
that.
You need to take a day off because you're not feeling 100%. Like you need to like say to your friend, oh, actually, I can't go out tonight because I'm just feeling really shit and tired. Like my friend said that to me the other day. She was like, I asked her if she wanted to do something and she was like, I am free, but I'm going to stay at home because I'm feeling really overwhelmed. And I was like, I rate that you said that and that you didn't just come out anyway, because that's important.
Sometimes you just need, she needed some downtime. Maybe at that point she was going through the divorce and whatnot.
Yeah.
But then to say that she's mentally ill, she can't look after herself and then make her work to pay you.
Yeah.
And then say, but she's not well. Like obviously she can, if she can work, she's fine. Like,
yeah,
don't. Yeah, they trapped her basically.
Oh, well, she's free, thank God.
She's free. And Paris Hilton is married, and Lindsay Lohan's going to have a Christmas movie, and I can't wait.
I saw that. Oh, she looks really different.
Was it, why tell us about this Christmas movie if it's not going to come out this year? I want to see it now.
Yeah, that is a bit. It's, yeah. There is a new Christmas movie there on Netflix, no? I think.
The Princess Switch, the third one with Vanessa Hudgens, cannot wait.
Is that coming out? Or is it out already?
It's this next week. I feel like it's... Tiger King came out, didn't it?
Really?
Tiger King 2. And then next week is Selling Sunset, and I think that's when The Princess Switch comes.
Sorry, Selling Sunset, I cannot wait for that.
Oh, that we're recording in the future. We're recording in the... Well, you'll hear
Selling
this
Sunset will be out.
Already happens.
Yeah.
So Selling Sunset would have already been out, guys.
The past in
the future. The
past. Yeah.
But this is future us talking about the past.
Wait, what? Bear in mind that we're only been up for an hour, really. Oh, but we're not, I mean, we have talked about celebrities for quite some time, but what we're actually going to talk about for the rest of the episode is the girl with the louding voice,
yeah.
Which on the front cover says, the international bestseller. Dun, dun, dun.
I absolutely love this book. I read it for a book club in Jan with the bookish babe, Hina Bryan. I'm going to one of her events again at the end of this month, end of November. And it was honestly so inspirational. I was just like, yeah, go on, Adani, I'm with you. Find your voice. I felt so uplifted reading it. Like, I felt like I could do anything because of her, because of her energy. I absolutely loved it. It was like one of my favourite reads of this year, I think.
Yeah, it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I think it's like, it's got a really good, like, it makes you, I'm doing a gesture with my hand, but this is a podcast, so you sort of like go on the journey with her with like the peaks and troughs. Like, obviously, like there are a few tiny highs, mostly lows, but like, you know, she gets through, and then sort of like the ending, you're like, you're left with a bit of like optimism for her future, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I felt really optimistic at the end of it. I was like, I can do anything. I think it sort of transfers. I think Abby Dare does a really, she was really good in doing that, transferring that energy over to the reader as well. I thought she did a really good job in executing that.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Like, just really, really great. I think it's a really good book. And every time when I put it on my Bookstagram at Bookish Cath, I changed my username, guys. like literally loads of people messaged me like, oh my god, that's my favourite book. I love that book. Like,
it was great.
People went nuts for it. People also do that for Shantaram.
Is it like 1,000 pages?
Attempt to start many, many times, but yes, it is.
It's like one of those things you do over Christmas and you've got nothing else to read. Major reading goals.
Yeah, but like it's one of those, it's like a similar, like it's one of those books that like loads of people rave about and like loads of people recommend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But to talk about it a little bit further, it's based on we follow the journey of Adani, who grows up in a village in, and I can't remember where.
Is it Nigeria? Yeah, go on.
Nigeria.
Do you want me to read the blurb? Okay. As a third wife in a small Nigerian village, 14-year-old Adani is expected to fade into silence. But Adani will not keep quiet. She's smart, funny, and curious, with an infectiously joyful spirit. And despite adversity awaiting her at every turn, she's set on getting an education, no matter the cost. Determined not to settle for her fate, Adani embarks on a journey from her village to the wealthy enclaves of Lagos. A journey that will change her life and, if you listen closely, possibly yours.
And it's true, she's infectious. It does actually transfer. And we start the journey with her and she gets married, I guess, to this guy who lives in her village. Is it Mafari? Mafari. I don't remember. Mafari? I remember her name. I don't remember anyone else's because I don't have my book.
Yeah, I've got Ellie's book, guys. Classic.
Yeah.
We basically have a shared library.
So we start the journey with Adani, who's married to... Remind me of his name again. Mafari.
It's M-O-R-U-F-U.
Mafari?
Mafuru?
Yeah. You all know that we're terrible with names, so apologies in advance.
Oh my god, I spelled this girl's name wrong at work the other day, and then I emailed her and I was like, I'm so sorry. I like mixed her surname in with her name. I was like, what's happening to me? And I just emailed her and I was like, I absolutely hate it when people do this to me. I'm so sorry. And she was like, it's fine, people do it all the time. And I was like, I know, but people do it all the time to me too. I'm so sorry.
But yeah, sorry, we're recording.
I'll tell you off just in case.
Yeah, so she's married to Mafuru. It's to help her father's fortunes. Her mother has passed away. She has a brother. And we go from her leaving the village to Lagos. She has this incident with one of the wives that Mafuru is married to, which basically is the... What's the thing called? The spark that sets everything into motion, essentially. The catalyst, yeah. It's funny, catalyst, when we went to that book club, they actually had Abby Dare there for the last part.
That's really cool. So I love it when they
And someone said, why did that happen? Because it seemed so far-fetched. And she was just like, I needed something to get her to Lagos, basically. Don't fixate on it. Yeah, because, you know, it seemed a bit right. So basically, she lives in... she lives with two women who are his wives. One of them is really horrible to her, the other one is really nice. Something happens with the pregnancy, doesn't it?
Yeah,
with the really nice wife.
Basically, she's not well, and there's this thing with the guy,
the actual baby father, we think.
Like, it's this thing
not
with
Mafuru.
The baby daddy, he has this thing with his family where they have to get bathed in this river in order for the baby to survive or something. Like, and so she goes to try and get that done. And
she's like bleeding out. I think she's actually really unwell at this point. They're trying to like get her better. They go to the village. He's like, F you, bitch. And then his wife comes to the door, and then the man's wife comes to the door, and then basically, it looks like Adani's killed her or murdered her or something. It doesn't look good. So she has to escape. Yeah. And so, someone said this was, like, really wild. And Abby Dare is like, yes, it is. Just go with it.
Yeah, it is. But, like, it's not... Like, loads of bad things happen to her. Like, it's not that... Like, the poor girl's got such bad luck. Like, it's not... I don't think it's that beyond the realm of possibility that something happened to her. But yeah, I find that bit made me really sad, because I felt like she was almost like a mother figure to her, and Adani like really misses her mother. Yeah. Like, obviously she's literally 14 and she's lost her mother, and she's been made to like marry this man.
She's
who like for money, because he paid for her quite a lot. And like, it just broke me slightly that it was she sad lost that mother figure again.
She does.
She found a lot of mother figures throughout the book, but
for her, like, she talks a lot about missing just being with the other kids playing by the river, that kind of being with her brother. Yeah.
Like, her childhood is taken away from her.
She ends up in Lagos because she finds a friend of her mother's who helps her get her there. There's this whole big thing where she has to go down the back stairwell where the sewage runs and stuff like that. It was really, like, again, wild, but in a good sort of, like, escape. Is she going to miss them? Are they going to find her?
Yeah, like, is she going to... Yeah, are they going to find her? Because her dad turns up and she's like, I know you're here! And she's like,
It was good, actually. I really enjoyed that part, just for the action. Yeah.
That was a really vivid picture, actually. That bit's really vivid, like when she's in the sewage. I was like,
you could almost, you feel like you could smell it, and you were there with, yeah, with her. And then she ends up in Lagos working for this woman who owns a fabric shop. I've forgotten her name.
Big madam.
I don't think
we do. Sure how much her name is. Do we know how much her name is?
She's a very wealthy woman in Nigeria. She owns a fabric shop. She doesn't like Adani. In fact, she beats her mercilessly.
Yeah. She's not. She gives her a job in inverted commas.
Sort of like a trafficking job, isn't it? So like,
Yeah. It is. Yeah. That's what happens. She basically, like, has to work like however many hours a day, and then it's really all the bit that really like stays with me in this book is when Big Daddy, so like Big Madam's husband, tries to get into her like hut at night. Oh, that actually, like, I read that before I went to sleep, and I was like, watching the door
because Big Daddy, Big Madam is, you know, horrible, not horrible, she's sort of merciless with Adani because she is in this rhythm or pattern or cycle where Big Daddy preys on these girls. And so therefore she misplaces that anger for him to these girls. And so it's not like they it's not like they attract it. They're just there to do a job. They're there to have a better life. Did the last girl get pregnant? She passed away or something, wasn't it? There was some sort of mystery around the last girl.
They killed her. She got pregnant and then they killed her. They didn't kill her on purpose as such, but... Well, maybe they did. They gave her something to eat to get rid of the pregnancy, I think, and then she died. Or, like, something like that. She definitely got pregnant and then...
I think...
They definitely basically killed her. I can't remember the details, but you find that, and she's like, this girl is like mentioned all the way throughout, and Adani knows that something's wrong the whole time. Like, she knows, and she's like trying to get to the bottom of it. And she has to wear the girl's outfit, shoes and stuff.
So I guess the journey that we go on with her, the end is for her to be able to get to this school. I can't remember how they find out about it. She just wants to really go to school, and then there's this program that comes up.
I think it's the woman the neighbour that teaches her.
Is it the woman?
Yeah. Which her name?
I thought it was the butler / cook. He's the only sort of half decent man in this book. Because we'll get to it. All the men in this book are shit.
Yeah.
No offence. Sorry to any men out there. Sorry. Insert Keith Palmer. Sorry to that man. The women in this book are terrible.
They are. So, like, there's a passage on page 213 in the paperback. How is Mephora and Big Daddy different from each other? One can speak good English and the other doesn't speak good English, but both of them have the same terrible sickness of the mind, a sickness with no cure.
They're all really,
I mean, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Great. Like, her dad, her brother... the man in the village, Mephoru and Big Daddy.
I think it's interesting that she gets treated badly by some women in the book as well. Like, she gets treated badly by the first wife in the first the guy that she marries. The first wife is really nasty to her, like really nasty to her, and then obviously Big Madam is like beats her up and stuff. I think the Big Madam's character is quite complex because she kind of, like, I think you said earlier when we were discussing, like, she displaces her anger and, like, puts it on Adani rather than Big Daddy.
But I think she's actually angry at Big Daddy. She can't be angry at Big Daddy. And I was saying to you earlier that in some way every woman in this book is oppressed, and it doesn't matter how successful they are, because Big Madam is a successful businesswoman. It doesn't matter if you're from the village or from Lagos, you have some sort of thing that you're fighting against, some sort of like injustice or wrongdoing that society's thought that these men have put on them or that they're facing, which I found really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, there's obviously Big Madam's got, like, Big Daddy's, like...
Doesn't he gamble her money and stuff like that as well? She funds his lifestyle for him to treat her so badly. And he also beats her too. That's... Yeah.
Yeah, he spends all her money and then beats her. Like, cheats on her, basically. But then there's... So Miss Tia is the other character who's, like, really nice to Jenny, like, helps her, like, teaches her English and stuff to get her into the school. But even, you were saying, even she's, like, got this thing where her mother-in-law, like, really, really tries to get her to get pregnant and, like, takes her to this awful, awful, like, ritual thing that I think she didn't realise was going to be so awful. She literally gets beaten to a pulp to try and get pregnant. And then the mother-in-law was like, I'm really sorry, I didn't, like, realise it was going to be like that. That's a really graphic scene, actually. Yeah. And Adani goes with her. Like, so basically Miss Tia's like, I want Adani to come with me. And then she has to witness it. Like, as if the poor girl hasn't seen enough.
It's that thing again, isn't it? It doesn't matter how liberated you are as a woman in this book, and there's varying state levels of liberation for each woman. I would say Miss T is probably the most free.
She travelled
internationally, she's gone to university, she's got money, her husband is more modern, so he isn't sort of restricted to sort of traditional or values or traditional societal values of how things should be. He's more, I guess, Western thinking in that respect. But even then,
I think they met abroad, didn't they?
They fall victim to, I guess, life in that sense.
Well, I feel like, because that he, like he's not the one saying, I want you to get pregnant as such. Like, they're designed together, but he doesn't really back her.
He doesn't really stand up to anyone about it for her. He just lets her have to fight her own corner. And so people look down at her because she doesn't go along with the herd or follow the pack or do as women should do. So it's very good. She does. Miss Tia does help Adani get into this school, as teaches her. They find a way for her to learn, because I don't think they wanted her to see Miss Tia.
No, so basically Miss Tia basically, like it's so much effort for her to get, like, Adani into her life. She asks her to take her to the market and stuff, and, like, Big Madam's like, you should get your own, like, housekeeper, whatever. That she does it, and then she gets in, like, it's just, she gives her, like, a mobile phone and stuff like that. Like, she really connects her, and, like, education is power, right? So, like, that is literally, like, I think that's, like, the biggest takeaway of the book. Like, education is power. Like, once you, like, if you have those tools, you can, like, you know, go to these places. Because I love that she just wants to be a teacher. She just wants to teach.
Was very fortunate to have had Miss Tia in some respects. The cook, I think he was from Ghana. It's because I'm reading His Only Wife, and that's set in Ghana. Different book, but I was like, I couldn't remember if it was Nigeria or Ghana. But he's from Ghana, and he's a cook, and he comes up. And I think even then, it's like people are like, but you're from somewhere else, so what are you doing? Like, he gets looked down on.
Yeah, he's also, I know you said he's not, like, perfect, but I think he obviously like, trying to protect himself quite a lot. Like, he's, like, he knows how to, like, stay in this job, and, like, I think he's sending money home to build a house or something. So, like, he's basically like, as much as I want to help you, like, I have my own life.
It's true. So he's like, I'll
And he said something like, if they get rid of me here, I will get another job in the city, make a sacrifice
for you to a certain extent, and then you're on your own. I can't protect. Like, he tells her, he gives her fair warning about things that she needs to be mindful of while being in this house. But I can't protect you any further than that.
Yeah.
So it's like a court kind of give with one hand, sort of take away with another. Like,
I feel like he knows that she's like, she's a force to be reckoned with, and that she's gonna do things that she's gonna get in trouble for. Like, so I think he sees the spirit in her, and he sees that she's gonna like get out of this situation some way or another. So he's like,
she has a different spirit to this. Other girls that came before her. I think he really respected that. Also, and I forgot
the point.
Doesn't matter, it's not important.
But all in all, very good.
I think I gave it five stars. That's it. Adani. Like, she has a question for everything. Yeah. She never is like, no, how she never just accepts it. And at some points I was just like, Adani, just accept it. Like, just move on. Like, don't make a fuss. But she's like, no, I'm gonna question this. But I love that she questions everything, that she's curious, that she's inquisitive. It's like, girl, do it. Like, if she didn't do that, she probably wouldn't have made it to that school.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't have done. No. She's definitely like, luckily, we don't have to imagine ourselves into that situation. It also makes you like realize how, like, it's one of those books, you know, that when you read those books and you're like, wow, I'm so lucky to have the education that I've had. Like, I'm so lucky. Especially as a woman.
You said you gave it five stars. I gave it a five. Yeah. Good stuff. Very good book. Yeah. If you want to uplift your spirit, feel positive, feel optimistic, I think, like,
but only at the end. Like, the rest, the book is quite, it does upset,
but it's, you're cheering throughout.
So if you're feeling it, you are, but there are a few scenes where I was like,
I felt like, because a lot of things are hinted or alluded to or subtly suggested, so it's there, some of it's explicit, not everything, but the whole time I was like, fighting for her, so I thought it was a good book.
Yeah, but yeah, so this is our penultimate episode of the year. We are going to do one more, hopefully, if I don't forget and sleep in. But we're going to do like a wrap up of the year, talk about what we've read, that sort of thing. So look out for that one.
Yeah, and then we're going to have a break over Christmas and the holidays because, you know, family time break. I'll be eating my weight in Christmas dinners.
Also, got to catch up with my reading because I'm behind on my reading challenge. Oh, I did finish a book yesterday. No, I finished The Hate U Give, which is such a good book. Talk about rooting for characters. You root for those characters. But yeah, so I did actually finish a book.
It's YA, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very, very, very good. I gave it five stars.
I am currently reading His Only Wife by Peace Adosumedi, which is also the other Bookish Babe book club pick for November. I'm really enjoying this. I'm making my way slowly through books, but I am starting to finish them now.
You're good. You're right with Shump. I'm going to borrow that book off you because it looks really good.
Oh, yeah, I will. Yeah, definitely borrow it. We'll end up doing an episode for the new year. Yeah, my friend texted me this morning going, so have you read Sally Rooney yet? Is that going to be a podcast episode? And I was just like,
Well, it is going to be a podcast episode, but someone needs to read it.
Still 100 pages in. I'm so sorry. If you'd seen the last social, it was like weekend that it came out. I was in Spain with my book,
but I basically took pictures and didn't really read it. So I'm got to go back to it. I promise I will.
Yeah, but we'll take a break. If you're not following us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod, you then won't know when we're going to be back after the Christmas break. So I suggest you go follow us there and then you can keep up to date with what's coming next.
Yeah, and read our blogs, bookishpodcard.co.uk.
But we'll have an episode before then, so it's fine.
That's so good.
We'll know a bit more better than then. But this is just giving you some housekeeping in advance.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.